Okay, today we plan to go through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, words of comfort. Now, most people cannot stand uncertainty. Most people. Some people's like, I love uncertainty. I love when everything's different every day. But most people cannot stand it, especially if the safety of a loved one is involved. It's like, whoa, if it's an uncertain situation, it's like, I don't like that, especially involving the health of one of our kids or someone else. In fact, our son Luke, when he was age 10, so roughly 12 years ago just about, he happened to jump out of a truck. And is like, you may say, how did that happen? It's a long story. But bottom line is he was doing an Indiana Jones. He was on the back of a pickup truck that I had rented, and we were going from backyard. He thought from backyard to front yard. Instead, I was going backyard, and I went the opposite direction on the street, and I headed off. We were going to the sports club, actually, and picking up soccer goals. And so he didn't realize I would actually go onto the street and gun it. I had no idea he was back there. And so he was like, ah! And he jumps off. And fortunately, he didn't, you know, hit anything as he jumped off, and he rolled. But he did have a severe head injury. And I had the, I was with him, actually, in the ambulance. And what a challenging time, because when it first happened, he was yelling and he really was sort of out of his mind. And he goes, the light, he couldn't handle light. And it was definitely a big head injury. So in the ambulance, incredible uncertainty. And it was very concerning. And so not fun at all. I remember at the hospital when we got him to U of M and he was being evaluated. And I remember the comfort that took place as the doctor was saying, okay, can you wiggle your toes? And all of a sudden we see some toes wiggle. It's like, yes, he's got toes. And can you feel this? And you know, he'd do something to his knee or something. Can you feel this? He goes, yeah, I can feel it. Yes, he can feel things. And I felt immobilized. I felt encouraged. I felt relieved. And I felt comforted, actually, by those words that were being spoken and by what I was seeing. So the Thessalonians, they're wrestling with uncertainty, and specifically over Christ's return. Will their deceased loved ones, will they miss out on Christ's return? What's going to happen? What about the judgment? How does that tie in? How does it all tie together as far as, oh, he's coming back, and how's that going to work? So Paul's addressing their concerns. The dead in Christ will not miss out on Christ's return. In fact, they'll be gathered first. Those who have believers who have died, they'll be raised up to be with the Lord, and they'll be gathered first. And then we who are alive, whoever's alive at the time of Christ's return, will actually be gathered up as well. And we'll all be with the Lord forever, like the ultimate family reunion. We'll be with him forever. So Paul is continuing by discussing the timing of the last day events, and he's not specifically putting any day or hour on it, but he's sort of talking a little bit about the overall timing and the preparation for it. So the whole idea of the last day events, it's often called the day of the Lord. That's a term, and some people have different definitions for what the day of the Lord really implies. Sort of a broad definition is it begins with the gathering of the church when we're gathered up to be with him. It includes the tribulation. It includes the revelation, the book of Revelation, wrath that takes place. And it includes Jesus' visible return. Some others define it more sort of more narrowly, shall we say. And they're emphasizing more just the judgment. And others more broadly, I tend to lean more toward broadly, the entire complex of last day events that takes place over a roughly 7-year period. So Paul is bringing comfort in the midst of uncertainty. In today's passage, he provides comfort in the form of 3 huge truths, comforting truths. There's nothing like truth to address uncertainty and to bring comfort. And so these truths, they just shoot right down. They give incredible comfort. Just like the truth of, boy, my son Luke, he's able to feel something. My son Luke, he's able to wiggle his toes. My son Luke, he's able to see okay now. And just everything's like, yes, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Very comforting. Truth does it. So please stand. We're going to pray, and we'll read through the whole passage and work our way through it. Father, I thank you for this passage we're about to read. I pray that you would instill in us hope and faith, that you would cause our faith to rise. Lord, we want to know you better. We want to be prepared. There's so much uncertainty in this world, and yet we thank you that your truths are true no matter what. And Lord, we find comfort in them. Help us to glean from this passage and help us to sort of rest on that strong, firm foundation that we have of your word. And we just thank you. We commit it all to you. Help us to sort of dissect and evaluate and glean from your word accurately and in a way that would please you. And I pray that you'd change us and grow us up. Continue to grow us up. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Please be seated. How comforting are these words? Incredibly comforting. Okay, so a number of truths, comforting truths. There's three that we'll highlight. The first one is our identity. Our identity. Comforting truth number one, our identity. In verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. So believers are sons and daughters of light, sons and daughters of the day. Believers are different from unbelievers, who are sons and daughters of darkness, sons and daughters of the night. So spiritually, we're in the light. So as sons and daughters of light, there are things we know because we're in the light. There's a sense of the flashlights being turned on. We're able to sort of discern some things. We don't know everything, but we know the one who does know everything, and that's the Lord himself. And so there's a number of things we do know. So verses 1 and 2, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So one of the things we know is that the day of the Lord will come as a thief. It'll take unbelievers by surprise. They will not expect it. If anyone's in a community where there are community alerts, where you get text messages or some kind of alerting system if there's something going on in the community. For example, a break-in took place at 2 a.m. and in a specific neighborhood, so be on your guard, that kind of alerting system. I've never heard yet an alert that says a break-in will take place at 2 a.m. at 3398 Merritt Road, Ypsilanti. That happens to be where we live. So the unbelieving world will be taken by surprise. They will not be given the details. And they really will not expect this whole thing. They won't even be ready for it all. We're ready. We don't know the details, but we're ready, and we need to be ready. Also in verse 3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So the globalists and the humanists, that human solutions to the world's problems, we can do it. The Tower of Babel, all sort of redone and dressed up nicely for its final hurrah. They'll be declaring peace and safety. that, hey, we can do it. This whole world, we just have to work together. We can solve health problems. We can solve economic problems. We can solve the climate change problems. Any problem that there is, we can solve. We love problems because then we can help solve them. In fact, we have great knowledge and the average person doesn't, so we can tell you what to do. And more we're seeing some of that. So, but it's like labor pains. If anyone here has had labor pains, I haven't had the privilege of experiencing them, but they are sudden, they're painful, and yet they're inevitable. It's like they're going to happen, but you don't know exactly when. I remember we were sort of going through that whole monitor process with our first one, especially as far as the peaks and the valleys, and it's like, okay, honey, here comes another one. And then it would start like coming down, and it's like, okay, we've made it to the top. And I remember once, at least once, we made it to the top, but then it was like a little downturn, and then it went up again. And it's like, Sue said, oh no, it's not going down. It's like, it's going down soon, honey. Sorry about that. So, but they're sudden, they're painful. The only thing close I've had is a kidney stone, which kidney stones are no fun. I was groveling in pain. I was sitting there at U of M Hospital on the floor, and I was groaning the whole time. And then this nurse, I don't know if her name was Nurse Ratchet or not, but this nurse comes, if you know that movie. The nurse comes, and the nurse says, sir, you cannot be on the floor. And I said, you don't know the pain I'm in, lady. So she goes, you cannot, I don't care about the pain. You cannot stay on that floor. And then she actually said, you don't know what's on that floor. You can get off the floor. I said, okay, I can do that. So, man, so pain. So we're going to see, there's going to be pain, sudden destruction, like labor pains, and they shall not escape. But for believers, for sons and daughters of light, things are different. Verses 4 and 5, but you brethren are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So we're not in darkness. We're sons of light. We're sons and daughters of the day. The day of the Lord will not overtake us as a thief. It will not. It need not surprise us as far as the beginning of it, the gathering. It need not surprise us. We need to be expecting it as we live in the light of an anytime gathering. It's like, Lord, I'm open. I'm ready. I'd love to have sports club start. I'd love to have some other things start. And yet, whenever you want to do it, whenever your agenda, whenever your time frame comes, I'm ready. It'd be wonderful to be translated or transformed into that with Jesus form where the flesh drops off. And we look forward to that. It's more important than the sports club. So it need not surprise us as we live it in light of that anytime gathering, and it will not destroy us. So we will not get destroyed by the wrath involved regarding the day of the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is light. There's no darkness, not even just a little bit. You know, now with superhero movies, you see these superheroes, and they got these like tragic flaws. Or you see, a superhero with a fat gut, or you're just like, this isn't right. We shouldn't have a superhero who's like out of shape or wanting to retire. It's like, no, you're a superhero. And so, you know, there's no such thing as like this guy's all good now, or this gal, the superhero is all good. It's like, they're good, but they're also a little bit bad. And those who are bad, a little bit good. They were sort of, you know, hurt along the way, and they sort of have a little bit of good in them. And it's like, boy, in the case of God, he's the ultimate superhero. Jesus is, and he is light, and there's no darkness in him at all, none at all. No sin, no nothing, no temptation that takes root. He was tempted in all ways, but was without sin. Always said no to it. Always said, hey, the word says, and he always countered the temptations that came his way. So no darkness at all. Well, as sons and daughters of God, for that's what a believer is, a son or a daughter of God. We've been adopted into his family. We're a son or daughter of God. And so we're also sons or daughters of the light. So just as God is light, we're sons and daughters of the light. I've loved over the years going camping with my boys, and we'd have these late night, you know, campfires, and you know, just stories around the campfires, and just have a good time. And then we'd have to go to like we'd go in these semi-rustic kinds of places. So it wouldn't be fully rustic, but it's sort of semi-rustic, and you have to take a flashlight and sort of find the bathroom and a place where you can take contacts out and stuff like that. So it'd be late night, very dark, and we'd have this bright flashlight. And it'd be sort of cool as far as going along the path, and it'd be like bright light. It's all dark, but they're bright light. And God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. And for us, we're sons and daughters of light. So we've got the ultimate flashlight, and we are able to see. Again, we don't know all the details. That's why we walk by faith. But it's wonderful as far as our identity, how comforting that is. That's comforting truth number one, our identity. Comforting truth number two, our protection. Our protection. Verses 6 to 8, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, this hope of salvation. So we're comforted by the fact that we're protected. Paul exhorts his readers, hey, we're safe. And we play a part in our safety. Turns out, for example, in a practical way in our lives, when we drive, we typically have safety belts on, or at least we should have our safety belts on. In the work site, when we did construction here in the church and renovation in the house, so renovating both settings, I'd wear my work boots. And so that's part of the safety that we had to have, because there's nails and there's other nasty things happening. So it's good to have work boots and work gloves. And I remember a day I didn't have work gloves, and I still have to this day. There's some kind of sliver that got in there. The doctor's convinced it was just like a figment of my imagination. Actually, he didn't say it that way, but he thought it was just arthritis. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I think it was a little sliver that just never got out. And so so there's safety. Work boots, work gloves, safety goggles. If you do any cutting with a saw, safety goggles, good idea, because otherwise a little piece of wood, a shrapnel sort of, can get us in the eye, and we sure don't want that. So there's safety. We do our part. Well, let's take a look at our safety gear spiritually. Four items as far as our safety gear that are mentioned here. One is alertness. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. So we're to be watchful and sober, which means self-controlled. We're to be spiritually alert. That's a huge safeguard or a part of our safety gear. And then in verse 7, we're not to sleep spiritually. We're not to be drunk spiritually. Shouldn't get drunk anyway, but we're not to get drunk spiritually. And that's not to be a picture. We're to be really filled with Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. Don't be drunk on wine. It's dissipation. It's a waste. And that's what we do. We waste our lives if we're giving ourselves to drugs and any kind of substances that we somehow were drawing some kind of peace or security from. It's like, let's be careful on all those things. It's like, no, let's be those who are filled with the Holy Spirit in every way. Sometimes God uses some medications for a short time especially, but however God leads a person, but let's not be so hooked on things, especially the things that are habit-forming. Let's be careful. So sleep and drunkenness, they belong to the night. If any one of you are wayward teens, such as myself, nighttime was what we lived for. And we'd at the park, and we'd make a bunch of noise. We were like a bunch of jackals. You could just hear us from a long ways away, hooting and hollering and rawr, and just being rowdy. And I was like, that's all nighttime kind of stuff. That's not the kind of stuff you want to do when you're getting older and being responsible, and it's not a path toward responsibility. I remember going to a 10-year high school reunion, and there was one of my friends. I was like, yeah, Grambin, I still do the things we did. And I haven't sold out like the rest of you. I still get high. I still do that in the basement. I got a wife, I got kids, but I get high in the basement. It's like, really? Is that your path toward responsibility and your path toward taking care of your family? And anyway, so people had to make good decisions. So being alert, Matthew 24, verse 42. Jesus says this, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." So we don't know what hour Jesus is coming back. We really don't know. And again, we've talked about this before. Some would say, well, okay, you don't know the hour. And there's another passage that says you don't know the day or the hour. And then they say, well, yeah, but we can know the month or the year. And it's like, that is totally not consistent with the heart of what that passage is saying. There's the sense of unexpectedness and the sense of, we know it's going to happen. It's expected in that it's going to happen, but we don't know exactly when it's going to happen. And that's what the faith walk is all about. And we're to be alert as far as that whole, our whole spiritually alert regarding our whole perspective. And so safety item number one, alertness. Safety item number two, faith. In verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." So faith, it's part of our breastplate. A breastplate protects the vital organs. Faith boils down to trust. Trusting in God, trusting in His promises, trusting in His Word. If He has said something and I understand it, I can bank on that. I can put my security, my faith, my trust in that. Not in the enemy's whisperings, not in the chaotic circumstances around us, not in anything else, the peanut gallery, worldly publications, worldly things that are on the news or whatever, worldly perspectives. And it's like, Lord, I just want to trust You and trust Your Word. I want to grow in that area of trust. So truth, it sets us free. God's Word, it sets us free. And it takes place, or it places our lives, shall we say, on a firm foundation, a really firm foundation. We are placed on a wonderfully firm foundation as we really have that breastplate of faith, and we're taking His Word in on a regular basis, and we're believing it, and we're applying it, and we're saying, Lord, I can't even do this. I need Your Holy Spirit to help me. That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's good stuff. That's what it means to grow as a believer. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says this, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." The wicked one loves to throw fiery darts at us. So the evil one, Satan and his demons, his demonic forces, they love to throw darts at us, fiery darts. It's like they're not even just regular darts. They're fiery darts, and this is pretty nasty. And so we've got that shield of faith. And that makes it so we can quench those darts. And the darts come in a lot of different forms. It's like different things that are said, and maybe someone we know or whatever, or different messages, of course, that come over the airwaves, or different things that sort of come into our thoughts. Let's take that shield of faith. Or what we're sort of tempted to think about, let's weigh it against the Word of God. And that's what Jesus said when He was tempted. He said, yeah, but the Word says, or it is written, and then He would quote Scripture. And there's something about quoting Scripture. There's something about believing Scripture. There's something about countering the lies that we can potentially believe. And the lies come in. If someone's a genuine believer, the lies that come in and say, you're not really the real deal. You're not really a believer. You're not really forgiven. You're a hypocrite. You're this, you're that. And those little things come in. And we need to guard against that. If we're a genuine believer, we need to guard against that and say, nope, I don't believe you. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to God's Word that says I'm a son or daughter of the day and of the light, and I belong to the Lord. I asked Him into my heart. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And you counter those with, yes, but it is written. This is what God says about me. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what the peanut gallery says. I care what God says about me. So faith, that's safety gear item number two. Safety item number three is love. It's also part of our breastplate. Verse 8 again. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. We are loved by God, and we love Him in return. And that's also the heart of our love for other people. We're loved by God. We respond to that by loving Him, and we love other people. Love protects our hearts when uncertainty abounds. When we're not sure, we don't feel confident about something. It's like the love of God and being reminded that He loves us unconditionally. It's not like, if you do this, then I will love you. That's not love. That's manipulation. And it's like, no, you don't love conditionally. You love as God loved. And you love independent of the performance, independent of what's taking place. So love protects our hearts when uncertainty abounds. Sue and I were up in Mackinac Island a long time ago. And we were there at a fort. There's a fort, and you're able to sort of see it and walk it. And it's really quite a setting for kids. And so Seth was there. He was 2 years old. He's now 24, so a few years ago. And he was 2 years old, roughly. And he was running all over the place. Well, it turns out he got separated from us. That had never happened before, where he got separated from us. And so he was separated from us, and yet, after a while, we could actually, from our vantage point, we could see him, and he was running all over the place because he was freaking out, because he was really like, ah! He was not a happy camper. And that reminds me of Paul's words in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And Paul says, nothing can separate us. Whether it's angels, demons, death itself, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so Seth was separated. He was feeling separated, and he was very bummed. Well, for us, we need not be separated. We need not feel separated even, because the Lord is with us. He loves us so much, and nothing can separate us from His love. And so when we're tempted to be very anxious, we can remember the fact that, hey, just a second, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. So Lord, help me to really stand on that very comforting truth that You will never leave us nor forsake us, and You are your love is unconditional. So that's safety item number three, is love. And then safety item number four is hope. In verse 8, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So hope is our helmet. It protects our minds. We know where we're going. We know that we'll end up with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we know there's a gathering, and we know that we'll be with Him always, forever. We know where we're going to end up. That's part of our hope. And that is incredibly comforting. That's part of our safety gear. That when the little doubts come, you don't know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. When you get judged, what's going to happen when you get judged? It's like the judgment seat of Christ. I'd love that. It's definitely an awe-inspiring kind of thing, but we get rewarded for the things that no one ever saw. And the things we did, the devotion we had to the Lord that we never got rewarded for on planet Earth, and everything we've done unto the Lord, we get rewarded. Jesus sees everything we do, everything. And the sins of the flesh are burned up. They're not center stage at that gathering. But we look forward to that. We're going to report in. Lord, You gave me this. I did this with what You gave me. And it's like, whoa, it's like good done, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's good to see what You've done. So the protection of our head, it's important. And in some ways, hope is our helmet. It protects our minds. It protects our thoughts. The boys had a football blooper movie. And the football blooper movie was really interesting. It would show passes that were just terrible passes, or failure as far as catching a ball that was like right there, just failure. Yeah, or fumbles, a lot of fumbles, and then someone would kick the ball, and then everyone would be running for it, and crazy stuff going on, and just all sorts of bloopers, football bloopers. And one of the bloopers, a guy's helmet came off. This is a lineman, as I recall, it was years ago, but I think it was a lineman. And so his helmet comes off, and it's like, oh, man. Because if you get nailed in the head with another helmet, you're toast as far as without any helmet protection. And so fortunately, there was no injury. Fortunately, he didn't get hit. He was able to, the play was dead, and he didn't get hurt. But hope is what protects us. It's our helmet. We need to have it. Otherwise, we get banged on, and spiritually, we can get little concussions, and that's not a good thing. So we need that helmet on our head. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. The author of Hebrews says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So let us hold fast the confession of our hope. The confession, the declaration, we believe it, we confess it, we state it without wavering, no wavering. And he who promised, God, of course, and his son who promised, they're faithful. They're faithful to do the things they've promised. So that's our hope. We know that Jesus is preparing a place for us. We know that we'll be with him forever. And we know that our flesh will totally be stripped off. And we know that we'll see our loved ones who we've lost to death. We'll see them again. And we know these things. It's like someone could say, well, how do you know such things? That's so presumptuous. It's like, I know these things. God's word said it. I believe it. It's very clear. And so we know a number of things. And these are comforting truths as far as the things that we know. So comforting truth number two, our protection, our safety gear, is alertness and faith and love and hope. Comforting truth number three is our future, our final one that we'll look at, our future. Verses 9 and 10, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." So our future is awesome. It is awesome. We're not appointed to suffer God's wrath. Isn't that good news? We are not appointed. We don't have an appointment with wrath. But our appointment is to obtain salvation. That's what we're appointed to. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. It's like having a doctor's appointment. And the doctor appointment is for some kind of nasty test. And we don't want to take the test, but it's like it's just some nasty something we have to go through. But it's been found that we had a procedure in the past, and turns out that test was somehow done when we had that procedure done. We didn't even know about it. And so the appointment's canceled. We no longer have to go to the doctor's. Wonderful. So instead, and let's say it's a kid, instead we can go get ice cream with dad. So instead of going to the doctors, getting poked at, getting tested, instead it's not needed. That appointment's been canceled. And instead I can go get ice cream, my favorite flavors. Big ice cream cone, double scoop, and with dad. And it's like, that is good. Doesn't get much better than that. In the same way, we had an appointment with wrath. We were appointed to wrath before because we were under the Jewish law for the Jews, and anyone who wanted to get saved had to become a Jew. They'd have to come under the Jewish law. Turns out none of us could fulfill it. No human could fulfill it. And so because of that, we were under the death penalty. But there was the hope of the Messiah. And the Messiah would come, and the Messiah was perfect in every way. Jesus was perfect. He sinned not at all. He fulfilled every aspect of the Jewish law. And so when he did die, he was able to die in our place. He had no sin to atone for his own sin, none of his own sin to atone for. So he was able to atone or cover our sin and pay for our sin. And so our appointment with wrath has been canceled. And now we can go get spiritual ice cream with our Heavenly Father, double scoop. And it's like, yes, we are going to obtain salvation. So why was our appointment canceled? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 9, who died for us. He paid for our sins. He took the death penalty in our place. He made it possible for us to be forgiven. So what's our future? We now have an appointment to obtain salvation, according to verse 9. Our future transformation. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. There's an aspect of salvation as far as in the past, in the present, and in the future. And so we are going to obtain salvation, or shall we say the goal of our salvation. And we're going to obtain the new bodies and the new flesh, and we'll be with the Lord. And those aspects of salvation we'll get in the future. And that's a wonderfully bright future. And then also in verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So whether we wake, whether we're alive at the time when Jesus kicks this whole thing off and gathers us up to be with him, whether we're alive at that time or whether we're asleep, in other words, we're dead in Christ. We, a believer who died and yet will be gathered up. Whether we're awake or whether we're asleep, we will live together with him. And again, the ultimate family reunion. It'll be an awesome, awesome time. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John says this, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So we're children of God, and what we are becoming is not fully, it hasn't been rolled out yet. It hasn't been fully shown yet. It hasn't been revealed yet. But we know that when Jesus is revealed, when he comes back, when he gathers us to be with himself, we shall be like him. We won't have any flesh anymore. We'll be like him. We won't have any sin inside of us. And we shall see him as he is. We'll fellowship with him. And we look forward to that. We really, really, really look forward to that. So, if someone's wrestling with, maybe like me, we're getting closer and closer to that time when we transition out. You might say, "Dave, you look really young." I look young, but I'm an old guy. And it's like, boy, we're getting close. Every year it's like, we're getting closer. And it's like, Lord, help us to use our days well and our months well and our years well for your glory. And so as we get closer and closer, it's like we need not fear death, because when Jesus is revealed, which takes place when he either comes back or we've died and we go to be with him, and when he's revealed, we're going to be like him, and there's going to be no COVID, and there's going to be no strokes, and there's going to be no cancer, and there's going to be no leukemia, no nothing. And we look forward to that. We look forward to that because those things are nasty. So we look forward to that. We're going to be like him and we'll see him as he is. So there's nothing to fear. We have absolutely nothing to fear. That's part of our hope. We have a future that's amazing, incredible. So conclusion and personal application. Verse 11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." So Paul says that his readers, including us, as we read this years later, are to comfort each other. We're to encourage one another. His readers, including us, are to edify one another. That means build one another up. We're to remind one another of our identity, sons and daughters of light. That's our identity. We're to exhort one another regarding our protection and our need for safety gear. Let's put your safety gear on. That's what the men's meeting, women's meeting. Put your safety gear on. Put it on. The safety gear of alertness, remaining spiritually alert, watchful. The safety gear of faith, part of our breastplate. We put it on. We believe his word. In the middle of a shaky world, we believe his word. And that's unshakable. And we put on love. That's also part of our breastplate. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. No separation. We don't have to be anxious. And then we put on hope. That's our helmet. The hope of Christ's return. It protects our minds when we're concerned and when we're worried. We're to reinforce to one another our future. Our appointment with wrath has very thankfully been canceled. And now we're appointed to salvation, to obtain salvation. What a wonderful change of plan. The Thessalonians, they've always been doing this, he says, just as you also are doing, or they've already been doing this, and they're to continue doing it. We too are doing this. We see this happen in our congregation as far as this kind of comfort, this kind of encouragement, this kind of edification, the building up of one another. And let's continue to do it, just as Paul is exhorting and encouraging the Thessalonians. Let's do the same. Personal application regarding comforting truth. Number one, our identity as sons and daughters of light. Are you living in light of Christ's return? Are you living in light of that? Are you conducting yourself as a son or daughter of the Most High? That's who we are. Regarding comforting truth, number two, our protection. Are you remaining spiritually alert, staying in the Word, cultivating a wonderful prayer life, fellowshipping, remaining spiritually alert, attuned? Are you putting on the breastplate of faith, believing His Word in the midst of, I think this, and I think this, and oh, I think this is a truth that's true for you? And it's like, huh? If it's true, it's true. And if it's not, it's not. And so I believe the truth of God's Word. Then are you putting on the breastplate of love, convinced that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ? Nothing can separate you. Are you putting on the hope of, or the helmet of hope, protecting your mind from worry and from tailspin? We've got a wonderful future, and that ties into comforting truth number three, our future. If you're a believer, are you convinced that your appointment with wrath has been canceled? Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced that you have an appointment to obtain salvation, to experience the rest of the salvation process? Are you allowing these truths to comfort you, to encourage you? Are you setting worry aside? There's no place for worry, or we need not worry. Are you walking in the pleasure of fellowship with God that begins now and continues on for all of eternity? Father, we thank you for this time and your Word. We thank you for how encouraging it is, how comforting it is. Thank you, Lord, for your peace, your assurance, for the reality of your Word. Thank you for who we are in you, sons and daughters of light and of the day. And we thank you, Lord, for even these reminders of putting on the safety gear. We're to fight the good fight. We pray, Father, for anyone who is listening who has yet to come to a place of bending their knee to you. I pray, Father, for you to place it in their hearts to receive you, the one who died for them. Lord, the Jesus himself, Savior, He's our Lord. And I pray, Father, that they'd experience the wonderful comfort that this passage just highlights, focuses in on. The comfort of knowing you, the comfort of having a wonderful future. And we just thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd place that in the heart of anyone who's listening who's yet to come to a place of knowing you. We thank you for this time in your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.